This ranks amongst the darkest days in the history of one of the world's greatest news organisations. So said Marty Baron, the legendary former editor of the Washington Post, a newspaper which this week implemented massive job cuts, which were likened to a bloodbath. It's owned by one of the richest men on the planet, of course, Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon. But the Post has been losing money, $100 million in 2023 alone. As a result of the cuts, its foreign bureau have been decimated, and the paper's Australia correspondent is amongst those who's lost his job. His name is Michael Miller. He's an exceptional foreign correspondent, and he joins us now. Michael, thanks so much for coming on to Saturday Extra.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This ranks amongst the darkest days in the history of one of the world's greatest news organisations. You worked with the great Marty Baron. He was the editor who featured in the movie Spotlight about the Catholic Church scandal in Boston. I think he was something of a mentor to you. Did he get that right, a dark, dark day?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I had the luck to talk to Marty recently via email, and you know, he said something similar in that, and you know, he was a mentor to me, and I think he's captured what a lot of people are thinking around the US and around the world, that this is a terrible blow for a newspaper that, you know, many people have, you know, thought of as one of the world's best. And so it was a privilege to work for Marty, and it's been a privilege to be the first and I guess the last Sydney correspondent bureau chief here for the Washington Post.
That's what you wrote on Twitter, isn't it? And I thought that was very poignant, as were the comments of some of your colleagues. One of them said that she was in a war zone, Ukraine, and she found out she had been fired. This seems to be a very sort of brutal sort of cost-cutting exercise.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's almost across the paper. I mean, it's hundreds of journalists, something like 300 out of our 800 person newsroom has been laid off. You know, it's our entire sports section, which is, you know, that's been the home, the breeding ground of some of the world's best journalists.
It's gold standard reporting.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. You look at our local section where I have many friends. They do incredible work. They covered the January 6th, you know, riot or insurrection. You have the foreign desk, of course, where, you know, suddenly we are essentially going to not cover. We won't have people covering China, the Middle East, Ukraine. I mean, these are places that are incredibly important that people in the U.S. and around the world need to know about. And the Washington Post has done that for decades, and it's hard to imagine how we can do that without these people there.
Now, there's an old gag popularized by Australians themselves that it takes really good peripheral vision to see the land down under from Washington. I've always thought that was absolute nonsense. Your reporting has proved that. You know, when you were trying to justify your existence here in Australia, what did you say about the consequentiality of this nation?
I mean, I think it's an incredibly important place, and it's becoming more important by the day. I mean, I think, you know, I think of the recent speech by Mark Carney, the Prime Minister of Canada, about middle powers and the uncertain future that they face amid this kind of crumbling international rules-based order, right? And Australia is right in the middle of that. I mean, it's stuck between an increasingly erratic, one might say aggressive, United States and China, which is also aggressive and expansionary in this region. So I think what Australia does in the next, you know, decade or two is incredibly important. It faces humongous challenges. It's plays a huge role in fossil fuel production that, you know, fuels climate change. You know, it's the home of the oldest living continual culture on the planet, right? Which I've been very privileged to cover in many different ways and different occasions. So I think Australia is an incredibly important place. And you've spoken about this before very eloquently, that I think I've always been interested in the risk of the Americanization of Australia, that Australia, I think, is still a very special place that has strong institutions, that has civility in its discourse, that has a social safety net, that has many things that the U.S. has lost in recent decades. And that's another important story as we see the kind of the rise of Pauline Hanson and the far right here in Australia now in the polls. That, you know, will Australia continue to be like the land of the fair go, or will it be something else?
When I came here as the BBC's Australia correspondent, I thought a lot of the stereotypes about Australia just don't withstand close scrutiny. I wonder whether you've been surprised by things that you found here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think certainly some of the stereotypes probably bear out, like the fact that all the animals are dangerous. You know, I've been stung by everything here, from caterpillars to, you know, blue bottles to, you know, I've been in the water with crocodiles and sharks and all of that. So, you know, maybe some of those I've embraced those stereotypes. But no, I mean, I think, you know, Australia is a witty, self-deprecating place, I think, right? And so sometimes Australians play down what they have and what they are. And I think what they are is a great country that is at a pivotal point and could really help to shape the future of this region and, you know, maybe even make a big contribution to the future of this, whatever rules-based order might survive here. So I think, you know, the stereotype of Australia being at the, you know, far end of the world and not being consequential, I think, is wrong. And I think hopefully my reporting has shown that.
Yeah, no, totally. Let's talk about some of your favorite stories. One that caught my eye was your report on Mullet Fest.
Yeah, well, there's a stereotype that I think we can all see still survives. It still endures everywhere around, you know, every corner and every school.
Yeah, you said it's where Australia lets its hair down. You talked about the kids who, as you put it, had 18 inches of wavy locks that tumbled from the back of his head like a light brown waterfall. What a lovely, lovely image. And you said he put down his success to homemade mullet juice.
Yeah.
Rainwater, conditioner, and coconut oil. Yeah. We'll put the recipe on our website for you.
Yeah.
you know, what were some of your favorite stories, Michael?
Yeah, I love that one. I mean, you know, the great thing about being a foreign correspondent is you cover the serious stuff. You know, I've been to Ukraine. I spent 5 weeks there. I covered the conflict on the front lines. I was one of the first journalists into Kherson when it was liberated as the Russians retreated. And I heard such, you know, joy from people at seeing Ukrainian forces for the first time in 9 months, but also stories of, you know, torture and disappearance and executions. And we went into a prison that had essentially been left open by the Russians as they were retreating. And we were just walking around and there were a few prisoners who basically had stayed, even though they could just walk out. And they were telling us just horrible stories about hearing, you know, people taken out of their cells and then gunshots. And the building was literally burning down as we were there because people suspected they were burning bodies in the back. So covering wars like that has been incredibly powerful and moving and something I'll never forget. But then, you know, the other side of it, as you mentioned with the mullet story, I get to have a lot of fun. You know, I get to write ridiculous stories. I get to see amazing things. I get to talk to people all around the world. I get to have, you know, experiences that probably, you know, most people, most Australians, you know, wouldn't do, whether it's, you know, hunting for crocodile eggs with Aboriginal rangers in the top end. Or, you know, I remember during COVID, everything was locked down. And, you know, as a journalist, you have an exemption, essentially. And so Matt Abbott, a photographer I worked with a lot, he and I went to the border of New South Wales and I guess South Australia. And people were stuck living in their cars for weeks waiting for an email allowing them to cross the border. And it was just surreal. And you know, I will always remember that.
Michael Miller, the departing, unfortunately, editor, Australia correspondent for the Washington Post. Thanks so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And you've been an inspiration, and I love your work.
Oh, well, that's very kind. But and good luck with what happens next.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.